So I think we're in the middle of Lamed Aleph. Om Alexander Hafridisi. Kisiba Samachloikis. Everyone has. Is it Alex that we're holding, or do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Om Alexander Hafridisi. Alexander Hafridisi was some sort of philosopher who lived, I don't know, like the year 200, and was considered to be from the great commentators on Aristotle, who preceded him by a few hundred years. Most of his work was written in Arabic, I think. Kisibas ha-machloikis min yanu shalish. There are three reasons why there's disagreements. Achas mehem, ha-avas ha-roshas va-nitzuach, ha-moyni ma-odem ha-sog semes ki-mashahu. Because people want to be right, and people are arguing and fighting, so it has a lot to. So it there's a mental block against giving in to somebody else, and so on. So it has to do with midas. Vashenis dakusina musik beatzmoi veomkuk sheyasigosei. If the subject matter itself is extremely difficult, extremely fine, and not easy to grasp. Vashlishis sichlus ha masig vikoitziat sichle mehasig mashach shasigose. And the third one is if the person's lack of ability. Now, I mean, just to kind of, it's not very important to me. He's going off with it somewhere else. But really, I mean, the second and third one are one and the same in a certain sense. If I had to ask myself, why can't this crane lift this rock? So I'm going to say the rock is too heavy. It's really one and the same if I say the rock is too heavy or the crane is not strong enough. I'm saying the same thing. In normal human interaction, we use a certain par for the course. We say, okay, most people have an IQ of 100. This material requires 150 IQ to grasp. So there we're designating the material as being particularly difficult. On the other hand, the material might be the type of material that 100 IQ could grasp, but this person happens to have an 80 IQ. So but it boils down to the same thing, a mismatch between the person grasping and the material to be grasped. But whatever, it's not terribly relevant here. Now he says, "Ubizmanenu siberevias loizachra." There's a fourth reason which he doesn't mention. Shalehoyse etzlam, they didn't have it. Vehi hahergel vehalimud. In other words, once you get used to certain ideas, then anything different becomes a problem. So, lemashal, when a person has one of the reasons why a new way of thinking about something in science or whatever it is difficult is because people are used to thinking a certain way. We're used to understanding something a certain way, and undoing that is very difficult. So he gives much simpler examples. He says, "Atatira anshek far." You'll see sometimes people who live in the sticks. They don't shower terribly often. And they have very few pleasures and a lot of difficulty with parnasa. They don't enjoy the finer pleasures of life. They're unsophisticated, and anything that requires a finer developed sense of things, they're not going to have it. They'd rather choose something that they used to, but is garbage, whether it's food or drink, whatever it is, than to try something new. They don't care about living in a big mansion, or wearing finer clothing. So you see that pleasures, even physical pleasures, are very much something you get used to, and you don't, you know, and it's hard to change. Certainly, paradigms, mental paradigms that you think in a certain way, you have certain ways of looking at something that doesn't change easily. A person finds it hard to adapt to a new way of thinking. So a person cannot understand the truth if we have become used to understanding things krum. So he's basically saying, if you grow up and God has a big beard and a long hand, then that's the picture you have, and it becomes ingrained, and you have a hard time releasing it. So you got used to learning Chumash as a child. The psukim are tied to you, kipshuto, and you just keep on chazing the picture of God with having all sorts of hands and feet and so on. The psukim seem to sound like we're talking about physical attributes, which is not true. They're really all metaphors. And I'm going to explain to you later on why it is that the Torah does choose to speak with these metaphors. But Lemaisa, it creates a problem for us. He's going to explain later that it's a necessity, but Lemaisa, there's a collateral damage that we become used to thinking of Hashem as in a certain way, and we stick with it. He said, this idea that because a person needs to have things set in a way where there's boundaries, physical mitzias, is only in the Gea Torah, avol inya kvar amruah philosophen gamkein, v'isigu asog amitis, we built in a toysal das falsvara. So this idea of having a the idea of the emes of the tzura that it really does not have any type of shape and form and so on. This is not only a balei emuna, but it's something that it's not only a Torah exeris akosiv. It's an emes and it's a metzias. It's something that the seichel itself should be emet on its emes. And if we don't have it, it's because we're used to it, and our mind can't think out of the framework that it is that's beyond that. Okay, periklamic base. Data ma'ima morize shehine. Yikre basogus asichlius mipnei sheinitus bechoima dava yidmel mashikra sogus achushius. Now he says there's a phenomena that happens in our mental cognition that is very similar to what happens to our sensory input. And he's going to draw a parallel from one to the other. And he's continuing with the idea of Seichel trying to understand things it can't understand and making mistakes. So he's going to draw a parallel between the two in Yanim. Vehu, sha'atak shita'ayin beinecha, when you look with your eyes, tasig ma b'koychecha ra'oyscha shita'sigehu. So a person has a limit what he could see. A person can see at 200 feet, this and this. When you're going to push yourself to see beyond that point, you're going to push your senses to try to perceive something beyond, or you're going to be looking at an extremely thin and fine line that you really is it's under the threshold of what the eye could discern. And you're going to squint and try very hard to push to see something that you really can't see. So he says, it's not only that you're going to start not seeing well whatever you're looking at, you know, it's going to start becoming kind of fuzzy. Your sense will become weakened in general. Pressing and straining your senses to try and to see something and that they that is too difficult for them strains the eye, the ear, whatever it is, and everything comes out fuzzy. When your eye is strained, everything is fuzzy. So somebody will come along and say, I don't sense something. I can look at this table and chair and it looks very clear to me. And I look at this extremely fine line, which I really don't have any ability to see. And I keep looking at it. Now my eyes haze over and I can't see. And even the chair and the desk look very hazy. So it means, so he says that's what happens, because what you did was by straining any part of yourself, and the mashal is giving physical senses, you lose, you go backwards on it. The same thing will happen with thinking. If you push yourself to think about things that you're really not ready to think or not able to think, you're going to begin not to understand even the things that you ought to understand. You sometimes meet a person who starts getting involved in hakiras about things that don't exist really, and then it becomes a pattern that everything it's like, whereas a normal when he was in his regular thinking mode, you know, things made sense. And A and A equals 2A, and B and B equals 2B, and that's that. Then he starts fakriching, and then everything becomes a mishmash, and his thinking becomes very tortuous and just out of shape. So the Rambam says, V'chein k'yotzeb zeh yikore basogis ha-sichas, v'hu, she'ata, im tamur ala safik, v'loi toine nafshu l'hamik ish moifis masha'in ala moifis. If you will be honest with yourself, and not try to bring proofs to things that don't have proof. And you're not going to try to say that something that you can't bring a proof to it is not emes. That's shleimus is where the person understands exactly what his mind can understand, and he uses it to understand it, and what the limits are, and the mind is not really a perfect arbiter of right and wrong in those areas. So knowing what is knowable, what is and understanding what's possible to know, and understanding what we can know some of it, and understanding what can't be known, and keeping those darn clear, will keep a person out of theological harm. The person is going to be do well. V'hu b'medregus of Akiva Shalom shenichas b'shalom v'yotze b'shalom v'yuno b'elo anyonim aloikim. So this is the paradigm of Akiva, who went in, and so the Rambam is now going on the four people that went into Paradis and the type of mistake they made and what happened to them. What's interesting is there's a word here from the Chassam Sofer, which is really what the Rambam is saying. Chassam Sofer said that Rabbi Akiva was Yotze B'Shalom because he was Nichnas B'Shalom. So the Chassam Sofer means it more in terms of Netiyas Halev and in terms of Midos. So if a person has an agenda, then and he goes into Paradise, he's going to find his agenda. So a person who is a clear mind and heart and he wants only what's right and what's true and what's good. So he will go into paradise and come out in perfectly good shape because he was a nichnas v'shalom as yatzei v'shalom. A person who has issues going into it is going to come out with his issues in full bloom. So he says, "V'im teshtad lasig l'mayim asagas secha." You're going to try to understand beyond what humans can understand. Oitaschel lahachsev inyan shloibah moivs haseisram. Oishav shorim v'afilu efsharochay. If you're going to discount anything that can't be proven, tagia be'elisha acher. You're going to become Elisha, which is the second one who went in, who became a Kaifa. The Einah Shalatiyah Sholem Vat. You're not going to be missing Rabbi Kiva's Darga of Paradis. Aval Toshav Yosef Hasim Kol Chasa. V'tischarishcha Oz Tigbeiros Hadim Yoinim V'netois Acha Chesoynes Amir Segunas Aros L'tridas Asev Kol Zayra. You're going to end up becoming a bad person because you've messed up your sense of judgment of right and wrong and so on and so forth. And basically, ukumay sheischadish beroiz min adimyonim amechazvim minim rabim im cholsha saruach aroya becholim vashayiftsiru be'ir l'dvar me'ir l'dvar madakim. The people who are going to look for things to understand things that can't be understood, they're going to overdo it. This is the perfect mashal of Elisha. He says this mashal of overeating honey is a perfect mashal. He says chachma is compared to food, like explained before, because that makes the person. Two program ago, v'zocha ha'orav shem mezaynis, and he chose the best food for advash. V'advash betivay kishayabu mimena. So honey is a wonderful food, but when you overdo it, your oyer ha'istum kaviyaveki. The stomach can't hold it. Ukiilu ama sheteva zeis ha'soga im dulos of atzmosim ashbam and ashleimus. So it's he's saying, you know, this understanding of metaphysics, of this chachmas apartis, in lo yamdu beitzeh gvula v'yechuba b'shmira. If you don't keep it in its boundaries, tehofech lechisorin ka'ichal advash. It's going to be the exact problem like dvash. If you eat it b'shir yizon v'yarav loy, v'im yosef yevir akoil le'oma petes ben v'katzabay le'oma v'akeyosa. So it doesn't. You don't become sick of it, but you throw up even the good food, even the good part. And he's being medayik. It doesn't say like you won't be able to eat more. You will throw up what you had before. Also, I want to just flesh out a little bit what is how his sushil was, how it worked. Chachma is chiyus ha'adam. Chachma tchaye baleo. So chachma is the food of a person, in a sense. It's the nourishment of a person's spirit. The problem is when we take our chachma to be all-encompassing and all-knowing, and there's no end to the amount of topics we can deal with chachma. So, and it's not true. So a person begins to try to use chachma as a tool for things that are beyond chachma, and the person basically has no kli kibble for it, and everything gets it tossed out because of it. Let's give some applications of things that he's hinting at when he says, an understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the kelim of seichel does not exist. So to try and to use what we call rational process, what we call rational process, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. And the Rambam hints at this two or three times. He says, to say that something is wrong because I can't prove it. Can I prove that God exists? No. Can I prove that this is wrong? No. Can I prove that? Oh, So then a person begins, in other words, this idea, can I prove that there's anything wrong with killing somebody? There's no way I can prove it. I can talk back and forth to a blue, but proof doesn't apply to it. So all of a sudden, everything becomes unraveled. So the Rambam says he's applied the tool of is it provable or not to something that doesn't exist in that frame, and therefore the person loses everything because of it. So he had a nice, fine, decent human being, and then he begins to use, let me use my. Can I prove that it's absolutely wrong? Can I prove that that this or that? And once the person gets into that, there's nothing in that world that can have those proofs. So basically, it's a trap, I believe, when a person talks about emunah. If the other person wants to put it into a box, will you be able to prove me not to? Because for the answer is no. No one can prove that killing is wrong. Say, well, if you kill people, then what? Then the world loses out. I really don't care. But science might go backwards if you kill out important sciences, that and that. So, I mean, it doesn't, there's nothing has the type of proof that math has. It's a very different discipline. And when a person tries to apply it, he ends up losing even, so here you have a decent human being and he's a mental person. And then once he got into his head, that if it can't be proven, it's wrong, then he loses any decency he has. Because when you're using a tool, it's like if somebody uses a fork to eat soup, he will starve to death. And the more he dips his fork into the soup, the hungrier he's going to get. It's just not the tool for it. People don't understand that there's a hidden axiom slipped in. And it is, can you prove? That means it should be provable. Let me take the same idea and put it in a different context where I think everybody will realize it. Let's say I have a friend of mine who's a great connoisseur of art. And he says to me...
I don't know that one.
Oh, he says to me that... He says to me that this is a nicer painting than this. And I tell him, can you prove it? So, there's no shaykhist it. So I'll tell him, so all your talk about nice art and better art and weaker than that is nonsense because you can't prove it. And we're Bali Seichel. And the answer is, it's like using a hammer to knock a screw in. Or using a screwdriver to knock a nail in. It's not the right tool for it. So there's not going to be any way to do it. Extending your seichel to a world where seichlis doesn't exist is going to unhinge the entire seichel. It's like sit and divide by zero. If you keep doing it long enough, you won't be able to divide anything by anything. You're going to lose it. Valzenyam Ramas David Ba'omer Vlachtav Dos of Flows for many Valzenyan Kivna Ba'omam Bimuflum Khal Tidresh Husakal Takkar Bimasha Sheta Dresh Venchis and Flois. In other words, a person needs to use Seichel. It's an extraordinary tool. And wherever Seichel applies, a person needs to use Seichel. But wherever Seichel doesn't apply, then Seichel is not as no Shaykhis. So to patchka with things that Adam can't be masig is bad. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos says this a little sharper. He says, what does it mean, kol shechosal kvoid koinoi, or lechosal kvoid koinoi? He says, the kvoid koinoi in a person is his seichel. the piece in our personality that is a nekuda of a lakus is the seichel. And a person who blows his mind is being mechalel the nekuda of a lakus. He's not chas al kvoid koinei. This, by the way, is also, the Rambam has an extraordinarily sharp perek about drinking, about how he thinks drinking yourself drunk is something that is terrible. It's worse than having an orgy. He uses that lashon. I mean, and he describes it graphically. And because by the Rambam, something that distorts seichel is the worst possible thing a person can do to himself. I guess maybe in Shiva they don't learn more levuchim, so they never got to that perek. But after Panim, the Rambam, by the Rambam, something that caused my shver zecher nevracha, he died of cancer. He had 2-3 months he was suffering, and he wouldn't take any painkillers. He refused. And once they slipped the painkiller into his drink, he was very upset. And it was by him a thing, he wanted to be in control of his mind till the end. He felt he needed to make decisions, he needs to be able to do things, and anything that would affect his thinking, he was extremely, extremely, wary of. He wouldn't let anything affect his seichel. By the way, my brother in Nosson Tzvi also, he had Parkinson's, and they suggested surgeries that might have alleviated a lot of it. He was very wary of losing a certain, he might lose some of a fine sense of judgment that he needs to make, and he was very scared of that. So when he gets sfeikus or he doesn't have a raya for something, he doesn't disprove something. He doesn't see it as disproven. He'll stand. This is certainly not meant in any way that a person should not use a seichel to understand what could be understood. Some people say the machmer. They say since some thinking might lead to bad to kfira, so gzeira will just stop thinking. It's I once said there's a chassidish darshan, not a darshan. He's a huge talmud chacham. Sinai Malevsky. He's a vicious Adayan, a square Adayan, a vicious Adayan thing, and he also gives a lot of lectures and different things, like a lot of chachmas. He's a very learned person. So a lot of his stuff is done nitlnach. So he spoke about the different, dates that they have for when they celebrate their day. So he spoke about it. And he spoke about Nitlnach. So he said, you have all these different days. How do you know which is Nitlnach? So he said, the Glatz, the Mahalach, that gets you out of all sfeikus is from when they start saying V'sein Talamotah till they say V'sein Bracha, you don't learn any night whatsoever. That's very glad that, takes you out of all sfeikus. And said, if you dafka want a Kricharai, so we'll try to be Bavarad in a little bit. Upon him, a person would say, well, so what do I need to think and be mizbeinim misayin? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a seichel to do that. And he says, k'mashashah psoim v'misrashim, the fools and the lazy people, ashe yitav lehem, she esimu chesroin v'siusim, shleim es v'chachma, they turn their shortcomings and lack of understanding into some sort of milah. Ushleim v'zulosim v'chachmosach esim v'siusim v'nadas. So the person who thinks and understands, they say he's kriching. They who choose not to understand anything, and he quotes the pasuk Sam Choshech over the Choshech. Aval kavana kula lehagid sheish asechel shegvul yamer etzla. By the way, v'lo tadaktik milos nemer v'seichel b'zeh aperik zolosei ka kavana hayeshara al inyan mechuvin lamitis musa seichel. It says when I'm talking about seichel, I'm talking about what's understandable, and so on and so forth. I want to add one more point over here. People speak about the difference between an academic or a Torah person. this is the difference. An academic starts with the Yisrael Yisraelis, that there is nothing that is not that's not discernible by Seichel. It limits the idea that there is that Seichel is limited, doesn't exist in that perspective. It exists in theory. Everyone will be motivated that this, you know, there's a limit to IQ, but the idea that I dare not approach something that is at the edge of my understanding or beyond my edge of understanding, because making a mistake is machir alamis, and because my say at this point I stop and I'm humbled, that doesn't exist. An ish haTorah starts that as an axiom, just like the academic person starts with the axiom that everything is judiciable, everything is the mind can judge everything. And you know, you may be right or wrong, but everything falls under seichel, human seichel, is a given. It's the axiom. And our axiom is ad kan. There's a gvul, and we part of being accomplished in Havana is knowing the gvul versus, you know, working as hard as you can within the gvul and not stepping outside the gvul. Danny, you got a triple mazel tov? Danny Zuckerman had triplets. Two boys and a girl?
Yeah.
Mazel tov. Wow. That's how many do you have before?
Two boys and a girl.
That's before?
Yeah.
And now you have again?
Yeah. We have a hand for each one.
Amazing. Astounding. Okay. Yeah. If we're looking for volunteers to do babysitting in case anybody has extra time. We have, okay. I'm sure you have help. I hope you have help. I mean,
Baruch Hashem. Fantastic help.
Okay. I see doctors get protection. His wife is a doctor. So I guess doctors are able to get three for the price of one or something like that. That's very, very nice. Okay. Any questions, any points?
Rebbe, is this idea that the academics they don't, the way they see a world is limited to, you know, what they can see and nothing beyond that, is that a taina against them? Meaning, if you don't have the Torah to be mamshich weiter, so then of course, you know, I'm going to see the world within the perspective that seichel allows me to see it, and that's within the framework of seichel and nothing beyond. So it's not necessarily taina against.
So it's correct. It's two points. First of all, if I don't have Torah, I could speculate about the mind knowing or not knowing everything, but I certainly don't have to accept that. I have no reason to think not. So it's bad some caution with emuna in the sense accepting a branch of means as a limit. Rav Soloveitchik in Lonely Man of Faith in his Akdama, he says something along these lines. On an emotional level, he says, he says that the gap or the struggle between science or the man of science and the man of Torah is unbridgeable. And he says, I'm not talking about the dinosaur bones and all that stuff. It's nonsense. Doesn't bother me. You know, he wasn't into the dry techno stuff, but he says an extraordinary good muscle. He says, When the man of science and the man of Torah, the Torah man and science man, or the man of faith, I could call it not Torah, I think it was the man of faith, when they come across Mount Everest, this huge mountain, so the instinct of the man of Torah is, I am humbled. I've been put into my place. In man of science is, I will climb and overcome this mountain. In other words, the sense that there can be anything above me, beyond me, greater than me, is something that I resist in a very, very gut level. Whereas the Ish HaTorah, or man of faith, starts the other way around. There is a Ribono Shel Olam, and I've gotten up to this point. But it's important to understand that when science talks from the perspective of Seichel, they've put an axiom into place. It's an axiom that at first glance seems fine, but it has no basis. The idea that everything is possible to put into Seichel is not clear that that should be so. We know that phenomena, art, is something that we can't put into seichel. Now, we may say that art doesn't exist. It's just personal feelings. There's no real sense of beauty. You go back and forth on it, but seichel is not going to be the arbiter of it. Okay, good.